Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Ribbity, the Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. We are in lesson 17. There's like 15 or so left to our little mini summer special series here on the BTL. We're hoping to make it to 30 or so, including the epilogue, with different lessons going through each phrase. Again, this wonderful sefer, a letter for the ages, Igeres Ramban, with the wonderful help of the expositions and commentary and insights of Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. Tonight's phrase in 17 over here is Ve'im nispa'er b'chachma meisir safa l'ne'emanim v'ta'am zekenim yikach. If he takes pride in wisdom, let him understand that God may remove the speech of the most competent and take away the wisdom of the age. This comes from Iov. The Talmud in Gemara Shabbos explains on 152a, as Torah scholars age, their wisdom increases. As ignorant men grow old, their ignorance increases. As it says, he removes the speech of the most competent and takes away the wisdom of the age. The Ramban alludes to this passage and implies that the haughty person who prides himself as a Torah scholar entertains a distorted perception of Torah. Genuine Torah scholarship makes one humble, not proud. When one studies properly, studies accurately, studies in the right way, the more he learns, the more he is overwhelmed by how little he knows. Thus, the one who grows haughty from his studies attests to the superficiality of his knowledge. If you think you know a lot, you really know nothing. If you think you know nothing, you know more than you think you do, but there's just so much more out there that you could really learn. We only touch the tip of the iceberg. Even if we're given 120 years, we should all be zoche. We only learn X amount when there's so much in the sea of Torah. Intelligent thought is man's supreme faculty, yet although wisdom is good and it's complementary, it may at the same time provoke feelings of self-importance. Maseil Shisharm warns us in chapter 22, first of all, even the finest mind is imperfect and prone to error. Even the most accomplished sage makes mistakes. Secondly, a person really doesn't deserve much credit for his genius, quote-unquote. The man who knows more than others merely follows the dictates of his nature and is no different than a bird whose nature it is to flap the wings and fly. A wise person, one who is wise only because his nature has led him to do so. There's no room for pride in respect to wisdom. Even if he got knowledge, he has to share it with others who are in need of it. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai makes this point in Mishnah and Avos in 2:9. If you have learned much Torah, do not take credit for yourself, for that was the purpose for which you were created. When the righteous men of Sumunya implored Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Judah the prince, to send one of his choice disciples to be their Rav, Rabbi Yehuda recommended Rabbi Levi Bar Sisai, known as in the Talmud simply as Levi, a profound scholar and a brilliant speaker. When the new Rav arrived in Sumunya, the people showered him with honor and placed him on a platform from which he would deliver his first Torah lecture. However, when Rav Levi opened his mouth to speak, no words came forth. His mind registered a blank. The people attempted to break the agonizing silence by asking him questions, but the new rabbi did not respond. Humiliated, Rabbi Levi descended the dais and returned to Rabbi Yehuda. When he completed his journey home, his brilliance and wisdom returned. So what happened in Sumunya? Asked Rabbi Yehuda the prince. Rabbi Levi answered, Rabbi, I now realize that when I stood on that platform, I felt a surge of pride in my heart, and that erased all the Torah from my mind. Rabbi Yehuda explained, your experience is vivid proof of the verse in Proverbs. Initially, if you were utterly degraded, it is because you were lifted too high, pointed out by the Yalkut Shmoni in Mishlei. Even if we have positions of power, even if we have positions of authority, positions of dealing with the masses, dealing with many people, we have to keep that pride in check. We have to have the humble humility in store. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of millions of people, 600,000 men, even more, including all the children and the women and everybody else who was with him. He was in charge of many, many people, yet the Torah attests to the fact that his main character trait was that of humility. Even though he was in charge of so many people and responsible for so many people, he still stayed very, very humble, and he stayed very true to himself and understanding that it's really only Hashem out there and we're all just servants to him. In fact, Moshe is called Eved Hashem as his deciding description of what his role was. A certain Jewish tailor living near Peshitsa was commissioned by the local square parrots to create a cloak from a bolt of expensive fabric purchased in Paris. The nobleman warned the tailor to take pains to create a masterpiece, and the tailor laughed and protested, "Sire, why do you say such a thing? Aren't I known to be the most expert tailor in the entire province?" When the tailor presented the finished garment to the parrots, the upperclassman was dissatisfied. The squire abused the tailor, claiming he had ruined the precious fabric and threw him out of his home. In desperation, the tailor sought out the counsel of Rabbi Yerachmiel, the son of the Yid HaKadosh of Peshitsa. The sage advised, "Undo all the stitches in the garment, sew it back together in exactly the same pattern as before, then bring the cloak back to the parrots." The tailor did so and brought the reconstituted garment back to the squire for whom he sewed it. To the tailor's surprise, the squire exclaimed his delight with the finished product. He sang the tailor's praises and added a bonus to his fee. Mystified by the turn of events, the tailor returned to the tzaddik and gently Rabbi Yerachmiel explained, "Originally, when you showed me your handiwork, I could tell that when you first made the cloak, you made it out of arrogance, and arrogance has no grace. That's why the parrots rejected your work, but this very rebuff made you humble and broken-hearted. That's why I told you to undo the arrogant stitches and to sew the cloak anew in humility. Thus, the cloak acquired grace and elegance, and your prestige grew in the eyes of the parrots." We should do what we can to have humility, to have the humble attribute within our lives with everything we do, with having grace and kindness and having modesty as much as possible in action and in appearance and in dress and in all of our deeds, and in such a way we could feel like the tailor after he redid things in the proper humble way, in the proper modest way, showcasing our mitzvahs and our chesed, everything we do in this world to make the world a better place, to bring a Kiddush Hashem to everyone around us, and to hopefully keep that humble spirit in our minds and in our lives. Join us next time as we talk lesson 18 here on the BTL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.